Welcome to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also listen to this station on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. This show is brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. Also brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark. Austin Price here in the studio with you, as always. Bill, War Eagle, good morning, my friend.
War Eagle, good morning. Glad to be here. We got an exciting couple of days of basketball ahead of us.
We do. I was just looking at the slate, and it's pretty awesome. Of course, Auburn plays tomorrow. And something else that we know is that we typically try to get you a bit more in touch with what else is going on surrounding Auburn athletics, not just the men's basketball. We like to give everybody a little bit of TLC around here. So you said you've got some softball news, baseball news, and did you mention golf as well?
Well, the men's golf is still the defending national champs.
Right.
They're playing well. They've already got two players that have, in individual play, have stepped up and played spectacular. Both of them, I think, have finished number one or number two in just about every event they've played.
Right.
And then as a team, they're still ranked in the top five. So having a good golf season.
Picked up where they left off so far.
The women's golf team looks pretty good, too. I don't have their record in front of me, but the last I remember reading was they're doing very well. They've got I think she's a sophomore, and I can't remember her name, that is their leading individual team member. That's pretty cool that a young sophomore is stepping up and playing well.
Right.
And hopefully stays with the program to the end and does some really good things with the women's golf.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about the other sports too. Softball. Auburn got off to a hot start in softball. I think they won the first nine games they played, eight or nine games.
Yeah, they were very hot to start.
Yeah, the record now is 22-11.
Okay, so they've tacked on some wins since we've last spoken.
Yeah, yeah. They won the last game that they played. The home record is what's really cool. It's 12-3, and Auburn did play at home while the men's basketball was going on last week. So
had some competition.
The fans that couldn't make the trip to the basketball game had plenty of things to do at Auburn, including the women's softball. Our away record is what's killing us. We're 1-7 away. We're 9-1 in neutral site. So I don't know if that's a product of just going to somebody else's home field and their quote home field advantage.
Yeah, being in enemy territory, right?
And the travel and everything involved. But I'm sure they're going to try to work that out.
I'd hope.
But when the bats are hot, they're outscoring their opponents. I think they beat Troy yesterday or day before by 7 or 8 runs.
Mm, all right.
When they are producing offense, they're producing a lot of offense. They just have some games where the bats aren't there.
Yeah, you got to be able to carry that on to the road, and when you do, they'll probably be a darn good team. But you can't get caught up in enemy territory too much.
No, and the men's baseball team is having a great season so far. They're 20-5.
All right,
we're 4-2 in the conference. The away record is even 2-2. Home record is 13-3.
Good,
and we're 5-0 on neutral sites. So, that a lot of offensive production here. I think you remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about the young kid for Auburn whose mother passed away the day before the game, and he hit the walk-off home run. Real emotional thing. The Auburn's got some offensive production baseball-wise. They've got some bats, and they know how to hit. They know how to play. They know how to play small ball too. The last couple of games that I got to watch bits and pieces of, either live or catching it on YouTube or something, was there's a lot of good things going on offensively with the program. It's not just getting up there and swinging away. It's moving runners It's moving people to open bases, base stealing. There's one kid on the team that seems to be a pretty good base stealer. But you need somebody like that, and that's who you want. You get them in a leadoff position, get them on base, and now it puts a lot of pressure on the other team to number
one. Puts a lot of pressure on the pitcher, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It puts a lot of pressure on that pitcher and catcher because they have got to stay focused on what that base runner's doing as well as who they're pitching to next. And, of course, you know, the batter's trying to keep the ball in play and move a fast runner around the bases. They're doing a good job of all that. Is showing up in the record. You know, 20-5 is 800% record. That's pretty darn good at this stage in the baseball season. So I'm looking for the softball team to improve and hopefully make a run to get into the tournament to qualify for the College World Series women's. Mm-hmm. I definitely expect the baseball team to be in the College World Series.
It sounds like it would something detrimental would have to take place.
Yeah, once this basketball season is over, yeah, we can start paying a lot closer attention to the softball and baseball program.
Right.
And hopefully see some good postseason play out of both squads. They're fun to watch. I mean, of course, me being an Auburn fan,
they could be winless.
I pay attention to every sport that Auburn participates in.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that, you know, their focus is entirely on college basketball or their focus is entirely on college football, and they hear bits and pieces about the other stuff that goes on. I like to stay as engaged with all of the Auburn athletics as I can. Of course, the dominant thing right now is basketball.
Yes.
And for good reason, Auburn has made the Sweet 16.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it beats the heck out of last year, you know, getting knocked out in the first round by Yale. But they looked good. And you and I can talk about the statistics and the analytics of the last two games and what that means for the matchup tomorrow. Auburn plays Michigan tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a 6:30 game.
I believe so. I'll check it. But I believe it is. And they're going to be tough. I don't think they're – and, of course, we'll touch on this more later, but I don't think they're going to be unbeatable. It is 8:39 officially.
Oh, okay. So it's the second game. The cool thing is it's in Atlanta, which is only an hour and 15 minutes away from Auburn, so it's pretty much in Auburn's backyard. It's a home game.
Right.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of orange and blue in the stands, which is good. I mean, because that's – Auburn feeds off that. You know, anybody that's watched this Auburn basketball program knows that Dylan Cardwell and Chad Baker Mazar and all of them, they feed into the crowd. They're always looking at the crowd. They're always engaging with the crowd. You get that – they get that extra little boost out of that. And, of course, the crowd loves it.
Yeah.
So with it being in Atlanta, that close to Auburn, I expect there to be quite an Auburn fan base there.
I'm sure there will be, especially with the stakes, how high they are right now. Michigan, you know, I think a lot of people kind of slept on them a bit. I thought they would make it at least this far, but they, you know, they kind of squeaked past UC San Diego, and they recently beat Texas A&M. So they're looking like somebody who's not a total pushover by any stretch of the imagination.
No, Texas A&M's a good team. I mean, you know, Auburn lost to them. They're a very good defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what Auburn's looking at with this Michigan matchup is how well did they match up with Texas A&M against Texas A&M's defense.
Right.
And I think that a lot of Auburn's game planning for this coming game is going to be based off of what they saw against an SEC opponent that Auburn had trouble with.
And, of course, we're going to we'll give a deep dive on Michigan along with the games that Auburn has recently just conquered with Alabama State, of course, and Creighton. We'll get to that in the next couple of segments. But, you know, since we're almost to the end of our time here for this one, I did want to ask you this very quickly, Bill, because I ran this by you shortly before we went live. For those SEC fans out there that are not aware, Gary Danielson, the legendary commentator for college football on CBS, is retiring after 2025. And I know that back the reason why this is significant is not just because he's infamous with SEC fans in general, but I remember back during the college football season, you mentioned this. You mentioned you have memorabilia that is Gary Danielson themed, I'll say.
Absolutely. It's no secret that Gary Danielson does not favor SEC teams in his commentary. And of course, as an Auburn fan, when he calls an Auburn game, and especially when he calls an Iron Bowl, now he's got two SEC teams. Let's just say he's not thought of very warmly by the Auburn fan base.
And why is that? Can you refresh my memory?
The calls that he makes, he's very critical.
They seem slighted a bit.
It does. I mean, and of course, I mean, we could be looking at it entirely wrong. I mean, he could be as neutral as anybody else, but
right.
He has not endeared himself with Auburn fans. So much so that myself and a couple other folks within the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club, we decided to just show our appreciation for Gary by having custom hats made up that said "Shut up, Gary."
That is appreciation in its rawest form.
Yeah, because we got tired of just shouting at the TV, "Shut up, Gary," every time he was on TV.
Yeah, so. It's like a protest, a peaceful protest.
Yeah,
you made yourself known.
It is what it is. I hate that phrase sometimes, but it is a
end of an era.
Direct reflection on our raw feelings as Auburn fans towards him as an announcer.
Mm.
So I wish him well. He's had a long career, not just as a player, but as a commentator. Enjoy retirement, but we're not gonna shed too many tears.
And we will also be boxing Bill's "Shut Up, Gary" hat in a glass cube, and that will be immortalized in sports memorabilia forever.
Oh yeah, that'll be a that'll be a monument to itself.
All right, just about 10:15 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return from break, we'll look at how Auburn basketball held its own over the course of this last week with Alabama State and Creighton. Two convincing wins there for the Tigers. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly, brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flag Speedway, and my co-host Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin 4 Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin 4 Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever. That's four lines on unlimited welcome for just $25 a line per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. You'll also get the new iPhone 16 Pro, four of them for the entire family, when you trade in up to four phones from our top brands. That's a new phone for everyone, only on the network you can count on. Verizon. Visit a store today. 20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply for phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Who's cutting down the nets this year? Get in on all the tournament action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest upsets to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Hi, this is Jeff Lane, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Get the best sports talk for Pensacola. Beginning at 5 a.m. with Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman. At 9, The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass gives you your local sports talk. At 10, Clinton and Friends give unique insights and perspective on sports. At 11, No Introduction Needed for The Rich Eisen Show. At 2 o'clock, All Things SEC Talk with The Paul Feinbaum Show. And Sports Talk continues at night at 6 with Amber and Ian, followed by Game Night at 9 and Sports Center All Night at midnight. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM.
Game night. Weeknights, 9 to midnight on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, when we went to break just a few minutes ago, we said that when we came back, we were going to talk about how the last week has treated Auburn men's basketball. We got Alabama State, Creighton. Both of these teams had double-digit losses to the Tigers. We'll start, just for the sake of being in order, we'll start with Alabama State very quickly. Of course, being a 16 seed, you don't expect them to really hold their own statistically. They didn't. But we both had a couple of takeaways from this game. How about you get us started here?
Well, they Alabama State was a play-in game, so they had to play a game prior to this to get into the tournament.
I think that kind of had them a bit too hyped because it was a thrilling finish over St.
Yes,
Francis.
Yes, it was. It was a buzzer beater, and they were riding high on that. And they actually looked pretty good. Defensively, they were fast. They were quick.
Right.
Auburn got a little sloppy with the ball handling, and Alabama State took advantage of it. I think Alabama State had, 10 takeaways?
10 steals, yeah.
Yeah.
That's rough. I don't care who you're playing.
And three or four of those were just poor ball handling by Auburn.
Poor passes, losing the ball.
Yeah, trying weak bounce passes that, you know, they were able to jump in front of, or over the top passes that were either off the mark or just no velocity on them. And, you know, Auburn, quite frankly, got sloppy early.
Yeah.
But they fixed it. Mm-hmm. But Alabama State, you know, they deserved to be where they were. They played their way into the tournament. They deserve to get that marquee matchup and get that TV exposure, and they took advantage of it.
They deserved those steals?
They looked good. They played hard.
They did.
I didn't see them make very many mistakes. Auburn was mistake-prone. The turnovers, the free throw percentage was horrible. I think it was barely 50%.
18 for 32.
Yeah, it was that you can't do that.
No.
Not at this level and not in this tournament, especially not going any further forward than we're going.
Right.
You have to be in the 70 to 80 percentile on your free throws. Take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah.
Janiah had a double-double.
He did do well, yeah, in that regard.
He didn't look like he was hurting. He didn't look uncomfortable. Once they got their act together, everybody stepped up. Miles Kelly had a fantastic game. He had 23 points and 3 rebounds, and I think he was 3 for 3 on his first three-point attempts. So, you know, he was batting 1,000 from three-point range for a while. Chaney Johnson had a great defensive game.
balanced game from him, 13-7.
Yeah, we had a lot of players that had a lot of time on the court. I'd say we had seven players with double-digit minutes on the court. Pettiford was hot. He was passing the ball well in the second half. Mm-hmm. He was assist, so he got five assists out of that. Most of those were to people right up under the basket. It was either Jani Broome or it was Chaney Johnson right up under the basket. So, you know, they adjusted, they fixed their problems, and they came back out and they played like a number one seed in the second half. First half, they did not.
And you know, I get it. I mean, with Alabama State having a game under their belt, with Auburn having the unfortunate ending that they did in the SEC tournament, you know, they may have just kind of had to shake a little bit of the rust off. You and I seem to be on the same page when it comes to what the two main problems were. You were reckless with the ball a little bit. You straighten that out. It's whatever. And then the free throws. I got to tell you, when I saw how bad they were from the line, and then I saw how good Creighton looked against Louisville, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I got scared. I thought Auburn is in the red when it comes to danger of getting second rounded.
I was feeling that same pain because I was like, Auburn cannot play against Creighton the way they played against Alabama State.
Right.
Creighton will jump out to a 20-point lead if Auburn starts the first half.
The same fate Louisville Alabama suffered.
Yeah. It's just Creighton's not going to make those kind of mistakes. They're going to take advantage of them, and they're going to play a lot more physical basketball than Alabama State did. And Auburn needed to be ready for it. And getting things straightened out in the second half of that game was the proper first step to not only closing out this game, but to getting yourself ready for Creighton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're listening
to the type of basketball they play.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And, yeah, Bill, getting back to this I almost called you Alabama. My goodness, forgive me. Yeah. Auburn-Creighton game. You know, the Blue Jays, I am guilty of kind of giving up on them. Because I saw them and I'm like, listen, you're coming from a tough conference, but the Big East had a mediocre year. You're a 9 seed. You know, this isn't a great year for you as a program. You don't typically make that deep of a push anyway. You're going to get second rounded by Auburn. It's going to be whatever. After they did to Louisville what they did, I got really nervous, and you did as well. And, I mean, I was – and we talked about how deep of a bracket this was. So I was thinking, okay, maybe I misjudged the Blue Jays. And for the longest time there, it looked like we did. This was a neck-and-neck game at halftime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they – it was a perfect matchup. Mm-hmm. Physical on physical, speed on speed, shooting percentage on shooting percentage. Jani did not have a double-double in this game, but everybody else stepped up their game.
They did.
We reduced the turnovers. We increased the free throw percentage. We took advantage of the opportunities that we had. We got more rebounds, offensive and defensive rebounds, than we did out of the Alabama State game.
The defensive rebounds was huge because we knew Creighton specialized in those.
Yep, and Auburn did what they needed to do. They made the adjustments. They came back, and I think going into this game, Auburn was a 7.5-point favorite, or –
That sounds right.
Yeah, I'm thinking at one point it was a 7 or an 8.5-point favorite. So, I mean, to win by 12. And it really was much closer than that. It felt like a 2-point game, the way everybody played. Auburn did kind of run away with it in the last couple of minutes.
They did.
But it was a 2 or 3-possession game for pretty much the whole game.
Right. Creighton was up at halftime, and I want to say with about 5 minutes to go, yeah, it was still single digit. It was still competitive, and Auburn did. They pulled away in the final few minutes, and I texted you over the weekend when it happened, my friend. I said, this is what separates a good team from a great team. We knew Creighton was good. We knew their program was formidable, but Auburn, this is the best team quite possibly that they've ever had.
Oh, I believe so.
Yeah,
and the way they came back and won this game is coaching. The coaches had these kids prepared. They knew what they were going to have to do. They made the adjustments at halftime to come back and take advantage of scoring opportunities in the second half. And even with Janiah Broom having kind of a pedestrian kind of game for him.
Yeah.
Everybody else just upped their game.
Yeah, Janiah was still huge with the rebounding effort, had 12 rebounds. I believe that was team leading. Tahad Pettiford, I mean, 23-6-3. That's all you need to say.
He was on fire with that just inside the arc little floater where he would make up, he would start charging like he was going to charge all the way to the basket.
Psych you out, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a pull-up jump, but it was a kind of stop your momentum and then just a little floater over the top. I think he hit like 5 or 6 of those in the second half.
If they can't stop it, keep rolling with
inside it. Inside of 10 feet of the rim, and you don't have to go to the rim to score. And, you know, he's got the touch. He's obviously a good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the youngest kid on the team. Everybody else is seniors.
Right. And Chad Baker-Mazzara, Denver Jones combined for 32 points. That really captures the depth you were talking about.
Yeah, Chad Baker-Mazzara. You know, I mean, you got to acknowledge the fact that he's himself in trouble sometimes.
Gets a bit heated, sure.
You know, he's been ejected from a game and technical fouled a couple of times. He lets his emotions get to him. He did suffer a little bit of an injury when he went down. He got like a hip pointer. And I think the opponent's knee kneed him in the hip as he was going down. He got back up and he shot the 2 free throws, and then once the ball was put back in play, he couldn't run to the other end of the court, so they took him out of the game. So he did come back, but he didn't stay out there very long because
right.
He was still obviously bothering him. But I think everything I've been reading about it since that game was essentially like a funny bone hit on your elbow or a hip pointer. You know, it was one of those things where they just treat it with thermally treat it.
Yeah.
Keep him stretched out and going, and he should be fine. So, but I'm expecting them to come ready to play tomorrow night.
Right.
Especially with it being in Atlanta, because it's going to be almost a home crowd. And this is their chance to take this team to the next level. It's been since 2019 since we made it to the Final Four. It was the only time we've ever been to the Final Four.
Really?
I think it was the second time. But
I was going to say, never during Barkley's era?
Yeah, once, but we've never made it past the Final Four.
Mm.
So this is the team that I really feel like has the chemistry and the ingredients to make a real good, legitimate run at a national title.
No, I think you're right, especially if they do continue to rectify their mistakes. Because something that I meant to mention earlier, and this is important, because we always love progress. Against Alabama State, we talked about how your free throw shooting was terrible. It wasn't great against Creighton, but it was better. We saw that depth that we had really wanted to see from Auburn with the guys like Chad Baker-Mazzara and Denver Jones. But not – because remember, late in the regular season – Janiah Broom kind of put the team on his back, and it's like, okay, you're putting up a pretty stat line, but you lost to Alabama in the rematch and stuff. It's like to see this team kind of bounce back, show visible improvement against what was an opponent we had kind of slept on, I feel, is pretty impressive, is pretty admirable. So I do really like that, and I think that's going to help a lot with Michigan because, as we'll mention in just a few minutes here when we return from break, I think Michigan and Creighton are damn near identical when it comes to the type of team they are, how they specialize, and what it's going to take for Auburn to beat them. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. Saddle up to the bar and grab a half-pound burger and fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flag Speedway. Also brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi,
I'm Rachel with Cochin Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I need new rotors.
When you buy two Duralast rotors during our spring sale, you get Duralast brake pads free.
Free?
With the rotors.
Well, that's great. What if I need extra stopping power?
You can upgrade to Duralast gold pads for just $10.
So Duralast pads are free?
Yep.
And an upgrade is just $10?
That's right. Part of the spring sale at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, millions of men experience ED, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. At Hims, our own board-certified urologist, Dr. Peter Stahl, knows this better than anyone, and he knows that Hims can help.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, Senior Vice President of Men's Sexual Health at Hims. I've helped many guys with ED, and it has never been more convenient to treat than it is right now, thanks to Hims.
Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs, options at up to 95% less than the brand names, when you get started at Hims.com/joy. To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% less than brand name prices, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit.
Now through April 7th, catch all of Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Where the champions play.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com and listen to the station on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, when we left off, we talked about the games that Auburn did, and those are all well and good, but it's old news, man. All right, we got Michigan coming up. They play Auburn tomorrow. And I mentioned this before the break, as lazy as the analysis sounds, I think it's undeniable that Auburn would be wise to approach Michigan the same way it did Creighton. The Wolverines have a couple things in common with the Blue Jays in regards to how they play their team ball and their defensive rebounding, and those were two things we highlighted as far as how the Tigers should beat the Blue Jays.
I would agree with that. Michigan is very similar to Creighton. They play a physical defense. They tend to control the ball well, pass and assist each other. They attack the rim when they have the opportunity to. I don't think they have the big players kind of like Creighton did, the underneath the basket big guys. No, they don't have a Janiah Broom clone.
They may have a little bit of size. What scares me is that Creighton, one big reason they gave y'all a lot of scares early is because they had some great shooters. They were on it against Louisville, and they kept up with you in the first half. I don't know if Michigan's going to be able to have that booming of a stretch.
Yeah, Creighton was almost 100% from three-point range in the first half. And Auburn made the adjustment and shut that down. They didn't give them the space to get that open shot.
Right.
And Michigan, I think Auburn's got to play Michigan pretty much the same way Auburn played Creighton in the second half. But looking at the total matchup between Auburn and Michigan, Auburn leads in points per game, 83.8 to 78.3. They lead in points per game allowed, 69 to 71. Takeaways per game. Auburn gives the ball up 9 times. They give the ball up almost 14 times a game.
Ooh, that's not
so good. That suggests to me that, you know, when they're making a run to the basket, their ball handling skills are a little
wonky.
It's either block shots or defensive rebounds. Rebounds per game, they do lead, but not by much. It's 38.6 to 37.3. Their field goal percentage is pretty close. Auburn's 48, they're 47%. Three-point range is still pretty close. Auburn leads at 36% to 33%. And free throws, this is the big thing.
This is
even huge. Though Auburn has had free throw troubles the last 4 or 5 games, Auburn still leads them in free throw percentage, 73% to 72%.
Okay.
Now, if Auburn can keep the free throw percentage at that level or better in this game, then I'm 100% sold that Auburn should win this game. Auburn needs to approach this game the way they did the second half of that Creighton game. Tighten up the defense. Don't give the guys the space to shoot.
Right.
Close down their lanes and play defensive basketball under the rim. Get those rebounds.
I had no clue about the whole free throw shooting thing. If Michigan is worse at free throw shooting than Auburn, that will undoubtedly be a difference maker in this game. And I try not to kind of, you know, ram too hard on the college kids when it comes to stuff like that. But, dude, free throws are supposed to be free points. It's in the name. Not only that, you are a high-level player for a high-level team in a high-level conference. Come on. You got to make those. And Jani Broome is, I believe he is well under 65% for the season. Dylan Cardwell is a nightmare. He's under 35% for the season, I believe. So when you've got talent like that who is struggling at the line that hard and the team still has a better percentage than Michigan, I don't know how Michigan's made it this far.
Well, they've made it this far with their defense. They've been able to keep games close and then win them late.
I'm surprised they inched away from A&M like they did.
Part of the cherry on top, too, is the fact that their starting point guard used to be a player for Auburn last year.
Mm.
Donaldson. So there's a little, he's going to get the same treatment that the point guard for Alabama got, you know, that left Auburn and went to Alabama. So
there's some animosity there. Well, we see how it is.
It's not animosity. It's just, hey.
It's animosity, but in a professional sense.
You entered the portal and you saw the greener pastures over there, and, good for you, but welcome back home.
Yeah, we got to prove you wrong now. No. That's part of the game.
Yeah, it's not a personal thing. It's just, they're going to have a little bit of fun with it because he has a relationship with the players.
Right.
So, they spent a lot of time together last year, and they know each other pretty well. Hmm. And I'm absolutely 100% sure that Auburn's going to put a lot of attention into keeping him bottled up.
Keeping him humble.
Well, he is a good player. He's a good shooter.
Yep.
And he's a good point guard. And Michigan made it this far in large part because of him.
Yeah. And I think, speaking of Michigan teams, we've got to talk about this. Well, first of all, where are my manners? You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And, Bill, you were just now talking about the Michigan Wolverines. I was trying to segue to Michigan State here because they are very important right now. They face the Ole Miss Rebels. Now, I believe the winner of this game, if I've got the bracket right in my head, and I'll check here because we've got a printed copy, I believe the winner of this game faces the winner of Auburn-Michigan in the Elite Eight.
It does.
Yes. Man, I can't make heads or tails of either of these flipping teams. I looked at Ole Miss early in the season, and I said, This team looks like it could be a problem. And then it floundered in their SEC stretch late, and I'm like, okay, this team's not getting anywhere. Auburn owns this team. Then they look like the hottest team in the bracket, while Michigan State, who was my pick to win it all, looks like one of the fakest. So this is going to be a very interesting game to watch, and I think it takes place tomorrow. Who do you have winning that game?
I have Michigan State winning the game. And I have Auburn obviously matched up with Michigan State in the Elite Eight. But if Ole Miss pulls it off, you know, that could mean an Auburn-Ole Miss rematch for the fourth time this season.
Right. This would be their fourth meeting if Ole Miss were to win.
And it's a better Ole Miss team. They like you say, they have improved. They were a little flat coming off the end of the regular season going into the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They're still a good ball team. They're very well coached. But they are kind of peaking, like you say, and Michigan State is kind of on the decline.
Right.
So I don't know if Michigan State's going to be able to right the ship and beat Ole Miss, or if Ole Miss is just going to keep getting better and better and take advantage of that and move on to the Elite Eight. Either way, I'm okay with whoever it is, because I just want Auburn to get to the Elite Eight, and we'll play whoever it happens to be.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool if it was an SEC team, you know, because that just means the SEC goes deeper in the tournament.
Yeah, they're guaranteed a spot higher. I got to tell you, Michigan State, they struggled with 15-seeded Bryant a lot more than they should have. They only beat a 10-seed New Mexico by single digits. So they've had one of the weaker paths, which is what they're supposed to. They're a 2-seed. That's their reward. But they have not done nearly enough with it to kind of convince me that they're in this hunt. I don't see really anybody talking about Michigan State. People talk about the overwhelming favorites, the 1-seeds, and then they talk about some of these more hopefuls. I don't see Michigan State in that conversation remotely. Ole Miss, as I said, has just been on fire. So I think Ole Miss is going to win. You think Michigan State is going to win. But see, we've talked about this would be your fourth time meeting the Rebels. Does that encourage you? Do you want the Rebels to win? Or do you think, ooh, I don't want them to get another chance to beat us, especially with how close our last matchup was?
Part of me wants them to win because they're an SEC team.
Right. Strategically conference-based, yeah.
On the other hand, it's hard to beat the same team
four times.
I mean, statistically, it's just, you know.
You got to lose sometime.
Yeah, you're going to run into statistics occasionally, and this is where it could be a run-in with statistics.
Ugh.
It's just, what are the odds of them losing to the same team four times in a row, and what are the odds of us beating them four times in a row?
Right.
You know, it's hard to do. Even though you, on paper, have a better team, it's still hard to do.
Yeah, because Ole Miss is going to be all the more familiar with you, but not only that.
Well, it's a motivation thing for them, too.
Yeah, and this is a very different circumstance. There's a lot riding on this, who you faced and how well you have faced them leading up to this point in this bracket. You know, the stage could not be more different when it comes to a potential rematch like that. I think Ole Miss is going to win, but it is intimidating to think that they could and be meeting Auburn on their hottest streak yet.
Yeah, they could be playing the spoiler, and they could be enjoying playing that role.
Right. And, speaking of spoilers, we do have a couple in the upcoming games. We've got a couple today that are below 5-seed. I'd say at this point that is a spoiler, especially by this season standard. But, of course, we've also got a 10-seed in the mix. And we will actually get to predicting how those teams are going to do both today and tomorrow when we return. We're going to go to break a little bit earlier than usual because I want to dedicate time to walk through all of those games as we hit the final stretch here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coachin' Force Steakhouse and my co-host Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachman Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachman Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
When the power goes out, your business can't afford downtime. Generator Source in Pensacola keeps your operations running, no matter the weather. From industrial generators to commercial backup systems, they offer the most trusted brands, plus expert installation and 24/7 support. Keep your factory, office, or restaurant powered, even when the grid can't deliver. Visit them online today at GeneratorSource.com and be ready. Rain or shine, Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, millions of men experience ED, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. At Hims, our own board-certified urologist, Dr. Peter Stahl, knows this better than anyone, and he knows that Hims can help.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, Senior Vice President of Men's Sexual Health at Hims. I've helped many guys with ED, and it has never been more convenient to treat than it is right now, thanks to Hims.
Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs. Options at up to 95% less than the brand names when you get started at Hims.com/joy. To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% less than brand name prices, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit.
Who's cutting down the nets this year? Get in on all the tournament action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest upsets to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JOQ to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Catch all of Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament on ESPN Pensacola. Now through April 7th, when the champion will be crowned in San Antonio. The NCAA tournament is presented by Shrimp Basket, Emerald Coast Coins, Bamboo Willies on Pensacola Beach, Hall's Hardware, Florida's Finest Structures, and Buggy Works on ESPN Pensacola. 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Where the champions play.
Start your day off right with Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Chris, and Michelle. Mornings 5 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and my co-host Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. All right, so we've got our upcoming games for today and tomorrow for the Sweet 16 that we're going to predict one by one. Also want to remind you that ESPN Pensacola 99.1 FM 1330 AM is your home for March Madness this college basketball season. You can also listen to us on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can listen to us on that everywhere you go. All right, Bill. So starting today at 6:09 on CBS, we've got a 6-seed BYU taking on 2-seeded Alabama. Of course, Alabama was one of those teams that made a deep push last year. They were expected to be for real this season. BYU, they made the tournament last year as well, I believe, but they were just one of those teams that it's like, you're good, you're in a deep conference, that's great, but we don't see you getting any further. Do you disagree? Do you think the Cougars can take on the Tide here?
I think they're going to keep it close, but I don't see them beating Alabama.
Really?
No.
Oh, I thought you said that you had BYU winning
well,
earlier.
Well, I did in one of my brackets, but
oh.
Now that I've actually watched them, and it's not – I think it's going to be a good game. It'll be less than double digits, but, you know, I see it being like an 8-point game, 8-point Alabama win.
Yeah, I've got Alabama. This is probably going to be a close game where it's like – have you ever watched a game and it's like at halftime you're like, okay, we're losing, but it's not too bad. We can come back. And then in the second half you just don't. I feel like this is going to be that type of game for the Cougars, but I want them to win. But yeah, I've got the Tide. Also at 6:39 on True TV and TBS, this one's going to be very interesting in my opinion. Four-seeded Maryland, one-seeded Florida. Florida only favored by 6.5. Do you think the Terps have what it takes to keep their drive alive?
I actually do. I like Maryland in this.
Really, to beat the Gators?
I think Florida's gonna look a little past them.
I think they could.
And Maryland's got the type of ball club to beat them.
And Maryland hasn't really been battle tested. That could feed into Florida just kind of looking ahead, especially when they see some conference opponents that have still made it this far. I disagree, though. I think the Gators will hold on to win this game, but I could definitely see them struggling a bit. Also at 8:39 tonight on CBS, Arizona and Duke. Obviously, two respectable programs, one of which is a blue blood. Arizona's a 4 seed, Duke's a 1. Do you think Arizona can stun them here?
Well, I mean, they have the team to do it. I don't know that they're going to be able to. It all depends on how healthy Cooper Flagg is.
Yeah, that's been a big problem ever since the ACC tournament, just kind of keeping your eye on him. Duke is still favored by 9.5. I guess I'll ask you this. Do you think Duke covers that?
If Cooper Flagg is healthy and plays the type of basketball he can play, then yes, I think they'll cover that.
I think Duke will cover it as well. I think this is a game that they kind of punch Arizona in the mouth early, and the Wildcats just never really quite climbed their way back into it. And then at 9:09 on TBS and True TV, 10-seeded Arkansas, 3-seeded Texas Tech. Going back to some Southwest Conference roots here, this one's a big one. Texas Tech is that team that's just kind of floated under the radar a bit, even as a high seed. Yet Arkansas, under John Calipari, they are having a great year. They're the Cinderella of the bracket. Can Arkansas keep this run going against the Red Raiders?
I see Arkansas beating Texas Tech tonight.
Gosh.
I see that being the 10 seed moving on.
I am confident in my thoughts on Arkansas because I've had Arkansas making it this far. I had them beating St. John's, making the Sweet 16. I'm almost positive, if memory serves me, I had Arkansas losing to Texas Tech, so I'm going to stand by it. I am going to die on my shield for
that. Well, the difference maker is the coach for Arkansas has been there.
That's true.
You know, so he knows how to prepare this team for this level of basketball. He's been there. He's done that. So they're going to listen to him. They're going to follow his instructions, and they're going to play a fantastic game and they're going to move on.
All right. Well, we'll see. That's probably one of the biggest ones we're going to disagree on. We already touched on this game and gave our projected winner Friday, 6:09 on CBS. Ole Miss, Michigan State, that's a 6 taking on a 2. Ole Miss is really getting a lot of Cinderella hype now, and they deserve every bit of it. Michigan State, though, still a narrow favorite, but this is the closest spread of this round. Michigan State favored by 3.5. So just to recap for those who are just now joining us, I'm taking Ole Miss to win this game, but you are taking Michigan State, correct?
I am taking Michigan State.
Okay, that's one. That's going to be huge because if you are not aware, the winner of that game takes on Auburn, assuming Auburn beats Michigan tomorrow. And we'll get to that game, of course, in just a moment. 6:39 on TBS and True TV, Kentucky, Tennessee, SEC rivalry. 3 seed taking on a 2. Kentucky, of course, being a blue blood. Tennessee favored by 4.5, though. You and I think, disagree quite starkly on this one.
This one is going to be a physical basketball game.
I agree with you that far.
And I see Tennessee winning.
And you see
they're just going to out-physical Kentucky.
And you've humored at least a convincing Tennessee win, correct?
I believe it's going to be 8 to 10 points. Yes.
Okay. All right. Could that happen? Yes. But Tennessee, I must hate creamsicle orange, man. I don't know. I am not a believer in the Vols this year. I've seen them give Auburn hell. I've seen it twice. But I don't know if they have what it takes to go the distance, not when they start getting against these higher seeds, teams they've encountered before, the trickiness of rematches, and Kentucky, gosh, the caliber of talent they have every year. Just to spite you, I'm going to take Kentucky. That's one we're going to revisit, though, for sure. And then, of course, you know what? I'm going to skip the Michigan-Auburn one for now because we're going to save that for last, the best for last. At 9:09, TBS, True TV, four-seeded Purdue. Of course, they've been great recently, but so has top-seeded Houston. Houston favored by 8.5. That's one of our more lopsided spreads here. Do you think Purdue can make another deep push? They made the national title game last year, but they've lost a lot of momentum since then.
I think they can. The cool thing about this game is Auburn played both of these teams.
Right, and beat them.
And we beat them both. So we know what the product is that's on the court.
Yes.
Houston is a one seed for a reason. They had a better record.
Sure.
Purdue is playing better basketball now than they were when Auburn played them early in the season.
That is true.
So I kind of think Purdue is on the move up. Houston is not necessarily on the move down, but I don't see them having made any improvements.
Right.
They're just kind of staying right where they are. I don't like the spread on this game. I think Houston's going to win it, but it's going to be a single possession game.
I think this is going to be one of those games where Houston wins probably by like 12 points, but it's because of free throws late in the game. I think Houston has a late edge on the Boilermakers. I just now talked about how Purdue's lost some of their toughness, lost some arsenal since last year. I think this game proves that. They're a good team. They're not great. They run out of steam here. All right. As I said just a moment ago, best for last. 8:39 p.m. on CBS tomorrow night. Five-seeded Michigan, top-seeded Auburn. Auburn favored by 9.5. I think that may be tied for largest spread of this round. You and I both have the Auburn Tigers winning. But since we're already at 10:58 here, give me a score prediction if you don't mind.
I have Auburn covering. I haven't it being Auburn by 12.
Really? I've got it being closer than that. I've got Auburn winning 79-71. I think Michigan defies some odds by keeping it competitive throughout the bulk of the game. But the late collapse, and as I said, the need to foul is going to cost them here as well.
Yeah.
That's just going to help them evade and just kind of pad Auburn's lead a bit.
I'm thinking 84-72.
I got 79-71.
Auburn's been averaging at or better than 80 points pretty much every game this year, so I don't see this being any different. But I do see Auburn's defense playing the same that they did in the second half against Creighton and really putting a clamp down on the opportunities for Michigan.
All right. And you don't have to give me a score prediction for this, but you think Auburn's going to face Michigan State next. I'm assuming you have Auburn winning that as well.
Oh, yeah. I've got Auburn going all the way.
Yeah. I've got Auburn beating Ole Miss. I did put a score prediction down. I'll say 84-74. Got the Rebels, you know, give them a scare, put up a decent amount of points, but Auburn's owned them this far. I believe they'd be able to do it again. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When you hear from us next week, we'll have a lot to talk about with Auburn Athletics as always, but we'll also be looking ahead to the Final Four. See you then.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.